What's good? We're back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. We got a special guest on the interview, and we're going to bring him in. Massachusetts rapper, Rice. We're going to bring him in right now. Give me one second. What's good? What's good? How you doing?
Doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, that's what's up. What's up? What's the weather like up there?
Sunny.
Okay, we actually got real cold sunny. Weather down here in the Carolinas again, as usual.
Nah, that's true. Yeah, you're not too far away from us, but yeah. We kind of used to the cold weather.
Yeah, y'all get it real cold up there. You know, ours kind of flip-flops. I like to start, like, normally with my interviews and I'm doing musicians, I like to start with the name before the name. Did you have a name before the name?
Yeah, for sure. My actual name, Gerard. And Gerard, yeah.
And that was your rap name at one point?
My rap name at one point was actually J Rice, so we dropped the J, and now it's just Rice. Like chicken and rice, never no beef.
Okay, so where the Rice part come from? So the J was Gerard, I'm guessing.
Yeah, for sure.
So it had nothing to do with Jerry Rice or nothing like that, did it?
So, like, dropping the J was actually when I ended up having a publicist. Her name was Lisa Sparks. She told me, like, honestly, I think it'd be a lot cooler if you dropped the J and just called yourself Rice.
Right.
So ever since then, like, I've been just having people call me Rice, and it's been smooth sailings. I like that.
Okay. And how long you been making music?
I've been making music for a little bit over 5 years, but I would say the best of my music started coming out like about like 3.5-4 years ago.
Okay. Okay. And what got you into making music?
So what really got me into making music was actually my brother. Like, I was already writing poems and stuff since I was like 13 when I was in foster care. But okay. When my brother said that he was going to start making music and going to the studio, and he thought that I could be a good manager for him, then I went to the studio with him, and honestly, the magic just like captivated me. It made me just want to be a part of not only his career but also making music. So the rest after that's just history.
You said you were in foster care. You and your brother were in foster care together?
No, he wasn't. He was older. He's older than me. So, like, okay. At the time, I believe he was 19. So, and that was when I was, like, 12 going into 13.
What was that life like? Because you hear a lot of times that a lot of kids in foster care have rough lives.
I mean, it's rough. It's, like, rough, just like you said. I mean, typically, you might go in there with like your clothes or whatever, but sometimes, like in my case scenario, I had a bunch of clothes I went into the foster care with, but like they lost the bags or whatnot, so I'm stuck with all these Walmart clothes. So it happens where like your life might seem like it's bad going in, but it's like it gets a little bit worse. So not everybody's in it for the right reasons, which is like a sad part for the system. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, there are good ones out there, too. So applaud those.
How many other kids y'all had in just your foster home?
So there was another four. Yeah. So what really got me into actually writing poems or whatnot was one of my foster brothers, Petey Pat, and he used to go to the studio nonstop. And he said, like, a good escape from being in our reality was by writing it down, making music out of it.
Okay.
So at the time, I wasn't listening to beats, so I call it just like poetry.
Did you have access to like mainstream music at the time in foster care?
Yeah, we was listening to all the radio jams. Like, we didn't have, I don't think we had anything like crazy in terms of like a speaker sound, but we did have a radio. So we
Okay.
was able to listen to all the radio stuff, like Shorty Right There is a 10. Like, oh my gosh, that like there was a lot of songs that like we was able to like listen to that were just like radio jams.
So,
A Bay Bay, when that first came out, like we was able to see that video.
Okay, so
So
you able to see the video or whatnot?
we was able to see the video because there was one TV that we shared between two rooms,
Yeah.
and we all went in there and watched that video, and that video was so fire.
And that, whose song was that again? The A
That
Bebe.
was Hurricane Chris. That was Hurricane
Yeah, and he's
Chris.
actually got the little situation going on right now as well.
Yeah.
So, what were your main musical influences once you started making music?
Once I started making music, I would say at the time I like mainly listened to just a little bit of the Clan, like Wu-Tang, but
Wu-Tang
like
Clan. Okay.
just a little bit, just that way. Then like I can understand what people were talking about when I first started rapping, and they said I sounded like RZA. So like I just wanted to like get where like they was coming from. So then I started making more and more music. I listened to all different types of people, whether it be Juice WRLD, John Legend. Like at this time, like I'm listening to like Frank Ocean, like, and like I just like always want to just listen to different sounds and different music so that way I can get into a different vibe in a different zone. But of
It seems.
course, before listening to all that music, pop, listening to 50, listening to
Yeah.
Jay-Z, a lot of East Coast rap like was just like bombarded on me. So I guess that is what influenced my earlier music, but now it's just about the feel of like living.
Well, Massachusetts has always had a lot of New York influence, I would say, being so far up north up there anyways, I would think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong.
Now, but I know what you're saying. You was listening to the mainstream radio. It seems like y'all had a lot of down south music hitting that mainstream radio at the time. So was you kind of getting the best of both worlds, you would think?
I think so, and that might have been what influences even like one of my songs, No Brady, that I dropped like almost 2 years ago. It is influenced by the fact that literally like someone said it like sounds like a down south bop, and it's probably because of the fact that when I think of like party music, I'm thinking about how down south music sounds.
Yeah, and definitely that A Bay Bay time that you were talking about, that's when the South really started pretty much taking over the sound, I would say, in hip hop. And then I remember I would go in New York and you would hear like up north like sounding just like down south, which really kind of disgusted me, you know, because I don't know. I'm from the 90s era, so I expect people to kind of stay true to their sound. What's the local scene like where you're at?
I think it's very different, and to speak more onto your point about like staying true to your sound, I think that it's hard to like say that like there's a specific sound for any region now because
Yep.
everybody is so spread out and like has moved all around this nation that it's like everything is just so mixed. You even see genres that are mixed now.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of Fort Bragg. So we got people from every city and every state coming through, you know, here. So it's like we got down south rappers, up north sounding rappers, the backpack lyrical spiritual, I mean whatever it is, you know, we got it. It's hard, like you said, it's hard to have one sound. Even Atlanta, they don't really got like this specific sound no more. Like when they first came out with Outkast and Goody Mob, the sound just keeps changing and evolving. Is there a lot of spots for y'all to perform around there?
I think that's very limited when it comes to like actual real performance spaces, but there is a lot of opportunities to do shows or whatnot in different spaces. It's just they don't look like sound stages a lot of the times. Sometimes, okay, like you're performing in the middle of a floor or like in a, like basically a bingo hall, to be honest. But at the end of the day, it's an opportunity to really like hone on your craft and get better at what you're doing. So you got to take advantage of whatever you got around you.
And but a lot of artists don't think like that. And they're like some, you know, always, the way I always explain it is you got these dudes that started rapping like last week, right? And they literally made their first song rapping last week. And then next week they think they should be getting paid shows. But like you said, even, you know, if you're not getting paid, if there's an opportunity to work on your craft, do you think more artists need to be doing that and whatnot?
I think that artists need to be working on their craft no matter what. Like My brother just told me the other day after we did his listening party for Still My Wave, a song I'm on, and it just dropped. Like, but he was telling me that you need to always be practicing. It doesn't matter if you're in front of a mirror, it doesn't matter if you're in your car and you're just jamming to the like a song, you just need to be constantly practicing, so that way then no one has to ask you if you're ready, you'll just be ready.
Yeah, and I think streaming is kind of messed up the mindset where like everybody thinks they should get paid right away, you know, just soon as they start making the music without building actual fan base and whatnot. Define your sound.
Different. I would say that my sound is different. Whether you're talking about listening to No Brady and like saying, oh yeah, that's a down south sound, or listening to Juice and saying, oh, that's a more slow, I would say like east side sound, or like listening to one of these new songs that I have in the closet, Stars, that's going to be coming out soon on a World EP. That song is completely different and it has a pop sound. But when I was listening to it with someone, they was basically telling me that like it was giving them Punjabi vibes, which is like an Indian type of music. So has like really opened my horizon. Like I'm not trying to force myself to be anything more than like what I'm feeling in the moment. So like I'm not trying to steal anyone's sound. I would just say that my sound is unique to whatever I'm given, whether it be experience on this earth or the beat that like I'm laying some heat on. So it's now just unique.
Now, like you said, all your songs sound different. Do you think artists should always go for an approach of every song should always sound different than the last? It should, like, these nowadays, you hear these rappers' songs, man, and the whole album is like one song, you know?
You talking about DaBaby right now, huh?
No, not even just DaBaby. I mean, he's from my state, and I actually did promotion for the 21 record, but there's a lot of artists. It's just their production of their sound is always the same, and the flow don't really change up. It's like, it's kind of like when I think of Mobb Deep, Infamous. Yeah, it had a certain sound to it, and then when they got the Hell on Earth, it had that Mobb Deep stamp on it, but it was a whole different sound. They were going for a whole different, you know, sound with it. And I just think, like, artists, they just go in and they just almost rap over the same beat 5-6 straight songs. Because the beats don't really change up. Like, the instruments, the sounds, nothing. It's just, like, all the same patterns almost and everything. And I just always strongly feel artists should search for something new every time. Do you think they should?
I think it all depends on the artist, and like we're in a generation where I wouldn't say there's a whole lot more artists than there was, but it's so much easier to just become an artist right now, where you just like grab your studio set, you just start rapping on the mic, and then like you start putting it on SoundCloud.
Or you could
Like,
distribute it like to Spotify literally the next days after you record it, you know?
exactly. There's a lot of artists that really don't have a plan. So I think it all depends on if you have a plan. If your plan is like, this is my fan base, this is what they like, I just want to stick to what they like, then be you. Make 20,000 I'm you songs. But if you're trying to evolve music, or if you're trying to do more than just like make that similar sounding music that you're gonna get in front of crowds with, are you trying to make intimate music for certain crowds? Are you trying to make storytelling music? I think that really plays a regiment into whether they're gonna make a different sound, because if they're just doing it to make money, then they're just gonna make that one sound until it stops selling.
So I get you. So I guess it really depends on are they in it just for the money or are they in it for the money and the love? Because I always
Exactly.
think like, I always say you got to be like 60% money and 40% love. That's just me. I don't I, like, because it's a business, you know, it's a business at the end of the day.
I think it all depends because, all right, as an artist, you have to really love your craft. So I think it has to be 100% love, and like, if you're good at business, you're good at business. That's 100% business. But if you're not good at business, you hand that off to your manager or someone else that really is good at business, and they'll take you to the top.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of these cats, too many of these cats 100% love making music nowadays though. When I like the kind of artists I hear out there, I'm just like, it ain't like the 90s where you probably like 80, 90% of the cats really love to do it and they was trying to get paid. I think majority of these cats nowadays are trying to get paid and then love it. Because they're getting so much money. Because, like you said, it's so easy to just record music. I think that anybody thinks that making it is easy. Does
Not
that
at
make
all.
sense?
I think it makes perfect sense. A lot of them like say, "Oh, snap, he just did it overnight," not realizing the process to get there.
That it wasn't
And
overnight. It wasn't overnight. It just seems that way.
exactly. And nothing's ever overnight. Not one song has ever popped overnight. Not one song is that not one person has ever popped overnight. It might be one event that might cause them to elevate themselves to a higher plateau, but there's not a person that wasn't ready for the limelight that is still in the limelight.
Now the No Brady song, like how I'm guessing it has a football re like reference with No Brady, right?
Yeah, basically, the line in it
So
is, she gonna throw it back, no Brady. But
It don't really have nothing to do with like Brady leaving New England or anything, and
I think
the
it
idea of
had
like Bill Belichick winning with no Brady.
nah, it honestly had nothing to do with that, but it was kind of so funny and coincidental that it dropped at the same time that Tom Brady was leaving New England. So, like, it was crazy. And then, well, we made it at that time. And then we dropped it, I would say, 3 days before the Super Bowl, where he won it with the Bucks.
Now, how does Massachusetts and New England and all that feel about No Brady now? Do they still love Brady or do they like, is there resentment for him leaving?
I think that there's always going to be love for Brady because I see a bunch of people now repping Bucks jersey. So I think it all depends on the athlete and who leaves and why they leave. Because I think everybody knows that Tom Brady had the right to leave, especially since they wasn't trying to pay
Yeah,
him what he was worth.
all those championships he brought y'all can't be like mad at like and all due respect, Bill ran him out, right?
Bill, and also I would say like just management in general, because he wasn't getting the money he deserved. For one, New England's pretty cold, so it's like, let me go to Florida. I could win a championship anywhere I go.
No,
I think
you're
that's the
right.
mindset he has.
I
Anywhere
feel
I go,
like
I could win a championship.
this is where y'all messed up. When Michael Jordan, who New York might try to claim him, but he's a North Carolinian. He's ours. When he was the most underpaid dude for Chicago Bulls winning six championships, he wasn't the highest paid dude in the league till after he won six championships. So after he won all these championships, it's like y'all was supposed to just make him the highest paid. To be honest with you, the fact that he didn't get the first fully guaranteed contract over Deshaun Watson, who had a trillion sexual allegations, was like ridiculous. Like y'all should have just gave him the fully guaranteed contract because he won so many, and then y'all wouldn't be worried about no Brady.
Listen, the problem, Brady, I think Tom Brady was going to leave regardless.
Probably
Because of Belichick.
got plus a bell check. Yeah.
At the end of the day, you can't pay a man enough to be underneath someone that he should be on top of.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm not saying that Belichick doesn't deserve his praise, but at the end of the day, is he ever going to produce another Tom Brady in his lifetime?
No. No.
Not likely.
No.
So it's like at the end of the day, Tom Brady literally probably had another 2, 3 years with us if it was any other coach.
Yep. Rappers that made it from Massachusetts, how much influence do they have over Massachusetts? Like, one of my favorite actually came out of Massachusetts. Was my favorite for a while, Joyner Lucas.
Okay,
Lately,
okay.
he's been kind of disappointing to me. You know, but what kind of influence do the rappers that make it out of Massachusetts have over Massachusetts?
I think it gives a little bit more hope to other artists that maybe their time could come. And obviously, it does come with a little bit of resentment because you got people that think that they're better than the person that is doing their thing. So
Yep.
it's always that mixed energy when you bring up a conversation about Joyner Lucas or anybody that's doing their thing out of Massachusetts.
I'm from Fayetteville. J. Cole's the same way. So it's probably the same way. It's like a 50-50 kind of love-hate thing.
Exactly. I feel like the love really comes from people that don't know him, I guess.
Okay.
So it's like
Okay.
artists that don't specifically really aren't in his circle or haven't watched him growing up and had the opportunity to hate on him. A lot of us really could say you know what, that's dope that he made it and can appreciate what he's doing for the game.
Do you personally know him?
I never personally met him before
Mm.
him becoming big or anything. And I still haven't personally met him. I haven't gone out of my way to try to send him an email or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just who I am. I'm not trying to ride someone's coattails and say, oh, you're popping now. I need you in a music video. I need you in a song or whatever. We're both from Massachusetts. I don't know. That's for me, I feel like that's a weird way about going about things. If shit's
Do you think
perfect and the things work out, then the universe will make it happen.
do you feel like, because this is the thing that's big in Fayetteville, North Carolina, is like J. Cole hasn't really attempted to put nobody on per se. Do you feel like an artist should always be obligated to attempt to try to put on at least one artist from their city?
I think that it's really hard to make that decision. I think it all is about the city you live in and also the artists that you have in that pool that really are ready to get to that next level. because you can't drag someone to the next level. They're not ready, and then like it, the fall is a lot worse than freaking the rise if you do it on your own.
They still got to stand on their own 2 feet at the end of the day.
Exactly. So it's like, even if I give you, let's say that like we consider this like a video game. Even if I give you a cheat code that gets you to level 20, if you don't have the equipment from level 1 through 19, you're gonna die on level 20.
Now, Jordan Lucas, would he be considered the biggest artist out of Massachusetts right now?
I think at this point right now, yeah, probably one of the biggest artists, mainstream artists that is out of Massachusetts. We also have Millie's.
Okay, yeah, I remember. Yeah, the white dude, yeah.
I think that he's doing big things as well. So I think those are two of the biggest, like, current mainstream artists that are out of
Are either
Massachusetts.
one of those from Boston?
Millie's is from right outside of Boston.
Okay, right outside.
Yeah, so right
Now,
outside.
what is the Boston music scene like for y'all?
I'm not really trying to judge the Boston music scene because I'm typically in the Worcester music scene, and I would say like Boston, like I've been to a couple of Boston shows, and I feel like it's a lot more of like a trap type of drill type of scene of music.
Okay. That's
But
what's going
I
on in
do see
Boston?
a couple of artists that have that R&B, that soul vibe that like you really get captivated with.
So there's none of the like what's my man from Gangstar from Boston? I can't believe I'm upset I can't think of his name right now. Big Shug. He was in the movie Black Mass with Johnny Depp. Like none of those artists are like none of those kind of artists around Boston no more. Those underground hip hop artists, Ed OGs and Big Shugs in the world.
I just don't think that like right now that like they're relevant in terms of like the current like music scene.
Current music scene. Do
Like
you
I'm not
feel?
saying that I don't even think that like when you think about the current music scene, you think about a lot of artists right now. Like
Yeah.
literally right now, a lot of people are just like listening to the newest things that are coming out.
Do you think your state is like totally overlooked too much since you're like right there next to New York pretty much?
I think that there's a lot of talent out here that doesn't go noticed for. Like just even inside this small town I live in, I know two artists that literally could probably kill a main stage. And I like, and it's gonna happen. So that's all I gotta say.
What do you think's missing from that the out that way? Because I mean, Boston's been there's a lot. I'm a Gangstar fan. Guru's from Boston. You know, you had the dude the Benzino. You know, and his crew. You know, like there's a lot of cats from that area that have made it, but it still seems like labels just don't take it serious enough.
I think that people just don't take the small town, a small town.
Outside of
Yeah,
Boston,
like
basically.
if we're not New York, if we're not Atlanta, if we're not freaking LA, like I feel like typically they're not trying to take Boston seriously as a
Yeah.
music capital.
And Boston's a huge city, right? I mean, it's a huge city, ain't it?
Exactly. Like, but it's
It's the
crazy
sports town,
because
right? The sports town, wouldn't you say?
It's definitely the sports town, and it's definitely the college central. But at the end of the day, they don't want to consider us the music capital.
And
But
I didn't
yet,
think
there's a
about the
lot of people.
colleges. We got a lot of colleges too
We
in North
got a
Carolina.
Berklee Music, one of like the top
Oh,
music
damn.
schools, literally is in
That.
Massachusetts, but yet we're overlooked. People come to Massachusetts to learn about music,
Music, yeah.
but yet we're overlooked.
We're
But
overlooked.
at the end of the day, like, I think it's just ourselves as well because it's about connecting. So if people out here don't connect like the way New York does, the the way Atlanta does, because people get groups of people together and they form a team and they build themselves up and they get out. Like, that's how it happens. You got
You
to
have the
build
same
together
problem
with
we
people that
have.
make sense.
You got a bunch of individuals that are, I like to say that you could put in a room, but not necessarily put their resources together. You know, that's
Because they
how
don't
Fingando
understand how
is.
each of their
Yeah.
resources work. So it's like if you understand your role, he understands his role, she
Yeah.
understands her role. Now we can all work together and build something that's strong, unbreakable. But if everybody feels like I could do his job better, or they feel like they could do that person's job better, then it's not a strong link. It's just like something that's always gonna fold. People gonna always try to do each other's job instead of saying, you know what, I'm great at this, so let's build around this artist or this group of artists and make something crazy.
Okay. What's one thing, if you could change it, that you would change about the music business or the music industry?
I think the one thing I would change is just like the level of competition that people feel that they are against. Because if you ain't made it nowhere yet, then you really ain't in competition with anybody but yourself.
Okay.
So I think that from the lower levels, people need to understand that collaboration is the way to go to get to a level where you're competing with mainstream or competing with like even indie artists that are getting that level of love and money and able to get into like a freaking stadium where like you're able to perform and get what you deserve. But until that level is reached, like a lot of people need to like understand, like you don't have all the tools in your belt. So get someone else that got a tool that you ain't got. Get another person that got the hammer. Get someone else that got the saw, and then now you got a whole platform.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, because a lot of these artists, it goes back to why I say that the dude that started rapping last week to want to get paid for shows. Like, it's always, you try to collab with somebody and then somebody be like, well, I'm charging this. Like, and they don't have no more fans or any less fans than you, you know, because I think people got this misconception of that just because you make art, you're automatically supposed to get paid for it. Like, at some point, Pablo Picasso and Da Vinci had to become Pablo Picasso and Da Vinci before anybody was willing to pay a ton for their art, you know?
You
And I think
practice
people
what you
lose track
do
of that.
until people want to pay for it. If
Yeah.
like if you don't practice what you do, people just come up like, "Oh, you want to work?" Because they assume that like you guys are at the same level. And maybe you guys are at the same levels in certain aspects. But if your work's out there to a level where it's like now people are wondering like how much does it cost? What's the budget? Isn't it funny
Yeah.
how that works? Like people will see the quality of something and realize there must be a budget associated with it. If that hasn't gotten to that quality, they'll ask you, "Oh yeah, I think we can work together."
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question to kind of reverse it of what I asked you. What's one thing in the music business that you don't want to never see change?
I think the one thing I don't want to see change is the fact that this industry is forever changing. Like the fact that like I don't care what anybody says, there's music that's coming out that like I never thought I'd hear that is like super dope. So, I'm like really at a level where it's like I'm astounded that you could literally mix hip hop and country now. You see rock and like hip hop, like there's so many different types of music right now that are coming out that you wouldn't have seen in the 90s or the 80s.
Well, rock and hip hop is it was a thing in the 80s because you had Aerosmith and Run DMC, you know. But the country and in hip hop, that kind of went later. Actually, Nelly was like one of the first people to do that though. With
Yeah,
I
no, it
think
did.
Tim McGraw, if I'm not mistaken. Nelly and Tim McGraw. And then but yeah, it's that's the thing though. Music in general is just becoming more universal, I think. You know, it's like it's all becoming like reggae music to me. It's just all becoming more universal, and the fusions of so many genres and whatnot. And you kind of got to fuse some of these genres because things are getting older and repetitive after a while, don't you think?
I think, yeah, I do agree with that. And I think at the end of the day, you can't really make anything new. You can't say anything new right now
it's not
because
much that you already heard.
Having already said, like, the only thing you can really say is, like, what's on the news. And typically, that's even on repeat.
I got a question. I typically ask everybody dealing with anybody that's a hip-hop artist. If you had an alien fly down today and you had to play one rap song, a hip-hop song, to basically explain hip-hop or rap music, what would that be?
Oh my God. I'm trying to think.
Some people said like Biggie Smalls, Juicy, It Was All a Dream. I said Tupac, old school. You know.
Oh, man. Give me a...
Oh, you still there? I think we lost him for a second. Let's see if he comes back in. Oh, there you are.
Freaking, oh, man. I'm trying to think of the song. California by Pop.
Oh, California Love by Pop?
Yup.
Okay. A lot of people said Tupac, so is that one of your favorite artists?
Honestly, if it wasn't for me being on the East Side, I would, yeah, Tupac is like, in terms of like that beef, I would say Tupac. Like, rap artists, like, just like the amount of passion he put into each song.
Yeah. That's the thing. Pac would take a basic, simple beat and put way more passion into it than any other artist I've ever heard would put into a basic, simple beat, you know? So I see what you're going with that. I see what you're going. So what all new projects you got coming up?
So right now, like I said, we got our single Stars coming out on the World Beat EP produced by Oliver Sean. He's from the UK, so like that's going to be dope. It's going to be like a world project.
Okay.
Like it said in the name, but Stars is like produced by over 4 producers, so that like is a big like up. Like one of the producers is from Massachusetts.
Is it a compilation?
Huh?
What is it, a compilation?
The songs on the EP, yeah, that's a compilation of different artists and whatnot.
Okay.
But the song itself, Stars, it's one song.
Okay.
Took 4 producers to make, but it's dope. Like, I literally never seen it to get to this level. It took 2 years to make that song.
So you had four people produce one beat for you?
Yes, sir.
That's typically what Jay-Z does. He flies in Timbaland, Pharrell, and Rick Rubin to work on a beat or something and whatnot. You don't typically see unsigned artists do that.
Like I said, a little bit different. It's different.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, I also have my own company, Hustle Work Grind ENT. We are a team of a few people. Got to shout out Benny Candela and also my guy Don and MWK the GOAT because they making this thing run.
Okay.
And we even got a magazine coming out. We run our own TV network and radio station. So
What's the radio station?
The radio station is actually on the website. It's Hustle Work Grind, like spelt like that.
Okay.
Hustle Work Grind. .com.
Okay. You got any social medias you want to shout out?
Let me shout out Hustle Work Grind ENT. That's on the business page, and then also follow me on Instagram with TheReal_Arroz, like Spanish rice.
How you spell Spanish rice?
ARROZ.
Okay, why'd you do that? What that was? You got any Spanish in you? Hello? I think it froze up on us. See if we come back in a second. And I think he froze up. Yeah, I think he froze up. That was Rice, Massachusetts rapper. I'm going to put all his links in the description as well. And for the outro, I'm going to play his music video as well. And we're about to get into that right now. Thank you for tuning in, Paul Pinker Podcast, featuring rapper Rice. Here we go.
Yeah. As you know, Rice is known for two things. Having fun. You know what the fuck is next. And winning.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, now I know that everybody's in here and they nitty and they gritty and they litty.
Wow, Sinatra.
Yeah. I'm waiting, trying to touch me up, no taste. She gon' throw it back, no break.
Tasting on your flavors, just might. Go and beat it up, like Ike. Tina Turner, Whitney, my type.
I can change your life, no price. Coca-Cola winning, I'm dead for the spinner.
Waiting on the cash after for the tip to dinner. Start big, but watch the sky get drippy. Do your dance, cause I'm trying to get jiggy. So fat, feel like a pinch when you grip it. Home hit a Barry Bonds, how I really whip the stick. Call me OT, got you running on the poppy. Need a Lambo just to ride a tsunami. Couple deep strokes, got a gripping on my waves. Couple missed calls, got a lurking on my page. We too grown, need to act your own age.
Stalking on me like you really not paid.
Okay, let me know when you litty. Okay, now I'm riding through your city. Okay, let me know when you wet. Okay, slide in this
bitch. Bring it back. Real slow, I like a slip thick bitch. I drop it to the floor, head down to the ass. Got them pretty white toes. Baby, moving like mulatto, drop that ass to the floor. Ooh, she keep it.